In this new year, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Well, today, hopefully you got an outline. Everybody get an outline? Anybody not get one? Oh, okay. Just give a few out there. They're right under the bulletins there. Thank you. Make sure everybody gets one. Thank you very much. We're continuing as we look at the book of Isaiah, and we're going to do chapter 42 next Sunday of dueling pastors. Pastor Rick and I are going to preach together, which ought to be interesting. We're looking forward to that. But I thought this is a great text for the new year, Isaiah 43 and five verses of chapter 44. I'm not going to preach on every verse. We'll be here all year if I did that. So that's why you need the outline to look at what verses we are going to talk about as we talk. We could say the theme could be for New Year's Day, past, present, and future. But no. It's past, presence, and future. Because it's God's presence that is who is with us, who has been with us, and continues to be with us, that we want to focus on this new year, a new year of God's grace in 2012. As we look at the past year, there's a sense of nostalgia and reviewing the past. Many people, even news programs, sports programs, talk about what happened in the old year, right? And all the things that occurred, good and bad. And last night they were talking on Fox News, I believe, that they were talking about the time to reminisce and for us to reflect on the past year and to look forward to the new year with fresh hope and optimism and making changes in our life and looking at our lives and having a sense of reevaluating and taking inventory of our lives. In fact, even our slow recovery, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing that fourth step of taking inventory of our lives, looking at the good and also the bad, and taking an honest look at ourselves, because it's so easy to just go on through the busyness of life and not really evaluate, am I closer to God this year than I was last year? Have I led other people to Christ this year? Am I been in the Word? And if not, what can I do differently into this new year to get closer to God and bring others to know Him? I really feel that God has a word for this church, and we'll talk more about that next week. And that is that we go deeper in worship, deeper in the Word of God, and more in witnessing to our friends and acquaintances into the new year with a new yield for a new year, a new harvest, a new surrender to Him, a new investment. Coming back, and we talk about yield and your investments. Hello? A new yield, and we want to invest in the kingdom of God in 2012. Not just go through church, have our little church service, and like nothing's happened, but make a difference in the world today. God has you here on this earth, on this planet, for a reason, and it's not about us, is it? It's about Him, making a difference in the lives of others. You're here to make a difference to people around you, to share and to shine His light, right? The Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Not just Pastor Rick and I. He's called you to make disciples. He's called me to make disciples. You can go where Pastor Rick and I can't go and make a difference. So anyway, the first point is to review what the Lord has done for you in the past. And for those that are hearing through the internet all over the world, and some friends of mine and co-workers, we know what's happened to all of us in the past. But here, review what the Lord has done for you in the past. And just some of the many verses that Joy read, quoting these. The one who created you. The one who formed you in the womb. God says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. That's quite a few things God's done for you in the past, right? He made you. You're special in His eyes. You really are. He formed you, even in the womb. The sacredness of life, even in the womb. He has redeemed you. What does that word redeem mean? It means to buy back. He took us from going one direction, and He says, I'll pay the price to bring that person back to me, and back to their family, and back to relationships. He paid the ultimate price. What is the ultimate price? Jesus' death, right. You know, the Bible never says to remember His birth. As much as we do, we make a big deal of His birth, right? Which is okay. The Bible says, remember His death. That He was born to die, but that He didn't stay dead. He's not in the manger anymore. He's not a little baby. But he's not in the tomb anymore either. And he's not on the cross anymore. Where is he? He's in heaven. And he's all over the place doing his thing. He's moving all over the world, which is very, very exciting to see what God's up to. It's very exciting. And so we are called, as we go in this new year, to review what the Lord's done for us in the past. But also just this past year, think about this. Where have you seen God? What was your God moment of 2011? Or God moments, right? How do you choose? The many times you've seen God show up. Wow. Wow is right. So we say, thank you, Lord, for being here in this church in this past year in amazing ways, for showing up in the nick of time, for being there with your wonderful mercy and grace. And for those that are not part of this church, thank you for being with them all over the world. Pastor Daniel in Uganda, people all over, thank you for being their God in 2011 and for being their God in 2012. In Jesus' name, amen. So we start with reviewing. He's done a lot for us. He's done a lot for us. Number two, we refuse to bring the junk of our past into the new year. As we look at an old year, my calendar is just about had up in 2011. I'm glad the backs tore off. I'm not the neat freak. Obviously, look at this. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. I need a new calendar for the new year, and I'm trying to be more neat for my new calendar that I have. So I'm forgetting this old, throwing that out. But also the Bible says to throw out the junk in my past, and don't bring in the new year. And I really felt strong and good for, not Good Friday, Celebrate Recovery Tuesday. All the music wasn't working. There was one button that didn't, we couldn't get music, couldn't get worship. It could, very frustrating. I said, I'm not going to let this stop. I'm not going to let this stop what God wants to do. And all of a sudden he gave me a word about leave it all behind. We sang with Seal, remember Seal, we sang in the well? And we said, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. But you know what? People are taking, this is my garbage. I put it in the dumpster. I pulled it back out early this morning. I thought, it'd be pretty dumb for me to take my garbage from the old year into the new year. So, what, Pastor Perry, why do you have that? I don't know. I just always have it with me. Well, what are you doing with that garbage? It's kind of smelly. What are you doing with that? Get rid of it. Throw it out. And so God is saying, don't go into this new year with the burdens and the garbage of the past. You don't have to carry it with you. Get rid of it. And throw it out. Take it out to the garbage and leave it there. Don't go back, oh, like I did this morning, and take it back out again. Oh, it feels, it's just who I am. No, that's not who I am. And maybe who I was, but it's not who I am and what I'm going to be in Christ. So that's a word for all of us, whether it be in sober recovery or not. Leave it all behind. All of it. Chuck Swindoll had a great sermon on KFLR this past week and other stations too. He said, let's take inventory of our lives and all that garbage and the way we talk to people and we talk to ourselves and mistreat people and the tongue and the pride. Leave it all behind. Habits, hang-ups, hurts, leave it back there. And what gives us the courage to do that? Well, it's from that verse there in our outline from verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So refuse to bring the junk of your past into the new year. And we think of another word for junk as refuse. So refuse to bring your refuse into the new year. The word refuse means to not accept, right? We refuse to do something. And the word refuse and garbage means it's rejected and discarded. It'd be kind of sick if we go, some people are hoarders and they can't part with the garbage. Something wrong with that when it gets to be extreme, right? Well, there's something wrong if we think, oh, that's part of me. I want that. No, get rid of it. Refuse that refuse and the garbage of our lives and the garbage of my past and the stuff from last year. This word has a very special word to me because, well, first of all, it was 6 years ago last night. I got a little testimony here. We had Bruce's. Give a little mine right now. 6 years ago last night was when my former wife said, you're out of here. I don't want to be married to a pastor. I won't be married to you anymore. I was totally shocked. It's New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve morning, he says, I don't want to be married to you. Get out now. No clue. It's New Year's Eve. Where do you go? I'm out in North Scottsdale, and I'm on the mountain saying goodbye to her dogs, and I'm looking out this direction, the west, and I thought, where do I go? Where do I spend the night? I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. Just about 6 months before that, I'd been loving and released from my congregation. So I lost my church home, my job. And I just started working at Touchstone maybe 2 months. So everything's new to me. And I was in the mountain. I still remember looking out and says, "Go west, young man. Go west. That's where you work." And at that point, I didn't have a church home. Tried 40 churches. And I remember going to the hotel just down the street where I live now. And I drove by that this morning, reminding myself what happened 6 years ago. And that God said, "I'll be with you." I remember New Year's Day, sitting in that hotel. And God said, "I'll be with you." And His glory and His presence just filled that hotel room to the point where I couldn't hardly get up off the floor. And God says, "It's going to be all right. I'll be with you." And then later I went to a church, LCMC Church in Gilbert, Arizona. Graham Sellers, the pastor there, Wonderful Mercy, the name of the church. And they had the director of Alliance for Renewal Churches, Paul Anderson, and his wife were there. They didn't know me. And he gave a word. He didn't know anything. He says, "God is doing a new thing in your life." And he used this verse to give me hope for my life. He said, "Don't give up. God's going to use you in the future. Forget the past, the former things. Do not dwell in the past." And that's what gave me a new hope to stand up and be a pastor. I thought I'd never be a pastor again. I thought I'd never have hope again. Lost a lot of stuff. And but God gave me a lot. Yes. What? Stuff. Stuff, absolutely. Leave it all behind. And looking forward, the idea that there would be a hope in the future, which we'll talk about here. So that was part of my past, and had to adjust a lot. Having a house on almost two acres, $5,000 square foot house, North Scottsdale, having my future totally secure, talking about traveling the world, and that's not going to happen unless it's as a missionary. And yet, happier than ever, and feel more blessed than ever. So that's my story. What's yours? Forget the past.
But you are traveling
the world. Well, yes, absolutely. The word goes out, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, right? We all have our mountain to go speak our story from, like Bruce, and let others know that there's hope for them. That's why I'm saying this. It's not about me. It's about God and them, that they can have hope. So, let's... Well, thanks be to God. And it's a wonderful home to be healed. It's a wonderful place. And I remember reading a book talking about, put it all in an old file cabinet. All the stuff in the past, just take those files and move them and get it out. Get it all out. So number three, thank you. Okay, that's the past. Now the presence in the present. Realize God's presence in the present. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And they use this verse over me as well. They said, "Oh, God is already starting something new in you, Perry. And you don't see it now. But the Lord sees it and I see it. And I'm proclaiming it ahead of time what's going to happen." Who would have thought I'd be out here? Who would have thought? I mean, when Jim Whitney invited me here and Pastor Rick saw me at a crusade and said, "I want you to come to our church." And oh my goodness, the rest is history. That's been, what, 4.5 years ago, something like that. Holy cow. It's amazing. And God is amazing. So the thing is now, forget the past. Don't live in it. Live in the present moment with God's presence. See those verses? It's interesting, the I am, which is Yahweh. I am doing a new thing. I am making a way in the desert. He's working your life even though you don't feel it. Because a lot of times I can't see what He's done until I look back in the past. Then I go, "Oh yeah, He did this, that didn't make sense." Well, I'm going through it. I go, "God, are you here? What do we do? What do we do?" And He says, "I am, the great I am. I'm working. I'm doing. I'm moving. Oh, I'm moving." And like the movie Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan is on the move. The Lion of Judah, he's on the move. And he's wanting the church to wake up as well this new year and get with the program, his program and his mission. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So realize God's presence right now, right here. I want to be so filled with His presence that His glory goes with me and is in me, and that people are attracted not to me but to Jesus, and they see Jesus in me and see the Holy Spirit in me, and His presence is so overwhelming, whether it be in a church or wherever we go, that wherever we go, the glory goes, and people are caught. There was a caught in it. There were an article in a book by Bill Johnson talks about different pastors and missionaries and lay leaders who were so consumed with God's presence that people would just be around them and they would repent of their sins. They wouldn't even have to preach. They'd be so caught up in the presence of God in that person's life that they'd be overwhelmed by God's presence. And some churches, the presence is so there, it's so awesome, like here, that sometimes it's overwhelming. And there's nothing better than to be in His presence in the present, right? Talk about it. Kind of presents we got for Christmas. The greatest gift, the greatest present is God's presence. So He is working. Whether it feels like it or not, He is really moving. Pastor Rick and I, we tried to recount. We'll do some of that next Sunday. How many things God's done the past year? We can't keep track. Even this past week, so many things were going on. It's like, it's the book of Acts, Acts chapter 29. There are only 28 chapters in Acts. He's still working. He's still moving, right? So, amen. Okay, so review the past, realize God's presence. Now remember God's promises for your future. It's sort of like opposite here, to remember, but then look in the future. Remember God's promises as they apply to your future. See the outline there. I will be with you. They, the waters, will not sweep over you. You will not be burned. I will bring your children from the east, amen, and gather them from the west. That's a prophecy, a promise for our children who have walked away from God and our grandchildren that we hold on to, that God will bring them back, right? From the east and from the west in all directions. We pray for that promise. Who will help you? For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring. And that's a word for the people in prison right now. You think you're worried about your kids, you can't see your kids? God will be their parent while you're in jail. The Lord says to you, don't worry. Trust me. And that I will bring your children back to you and to me. Oh. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob, Jacob. And others will write on their hand the Lord's. It's like, I remember my daughter, she still writes notes on her hand. She doesn't have paper. And I said, Christine, what do you have there? Oh, just a reminder. And she's got something here and something here to remind her. Well, I guess it's always there. I don't do that. I don't write notes to myself in my arms. I never even thought about that, but that's a different generation, I guess. They do tattoos and everything else. We won't get into that, but yeah, right, that's true too. But maybe we should have reminders, whether it be post-it notes or whatever, that God is with us and that we are His child. I'm His child. Maybe we need those reminders in whatever way. And the promise in the future is that people who don't care for Him right now, don't call upon Him, will do so in the future. And I kept thinking of this yesterday. Who's going to be the Bruce Berkshire of 2012? Who could care less about God now. And God's going to show up and going to reveal Himself to them in a new year. And we need to pray for that, those open doors. You heard Bruce Christmas Eve. There's going to be more Bruces coming into this church and stepping up here and telling their life story. And maybe they're a mess. They're still drunk, still hungover from last night, still high from last night, and they aren't very happy about it, starting a new year in that way, in an old way. And God's going to show up and change them. And they're going to come here and not even know why they're here. And God's going to lead them. And I can't wait. I can't wait for that to happen. These are the promises in the future. And notice in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know, now we don't know, but God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. So you have a hope. You have a future, and so do I. I didn't think so 4 years ago. I really didn't. I got a few props here and aids, visual aids, a reminder of time. This is from Touchstone, a little timepiece, an hourglass with a little clock, reminding the preciousness of time. I have a brick from Joplin, Missouri. I was still I'll never forget going to Joplin July, first week of July, end of June, after the tornadoes hit like 6 weeks before. This is a brick from a house. It was totally demolished. The bricks are over the car, everywhere. And this is a reminder that you can start over. No matter what the storms of life have done, this is a brick from Joplin, and they're rebuilding. And we can rebuild too, no matter what happens in our lives. We can do that. And we never know what the future holds. I just watched a video on YouTube. It's called In the Pilot Seat. You might want to look at that. It's a pilot who was supposed to be flying on September 11th, on Flight 11, that went from Boston. He was all set, and I won't get into the whole story. Amazing circumstances where he ended up not going. And now God is using him in his ministry, not as a pilot, but as a teacher online about character development, about perseverance, about decision making. It's an amazing story. And he talks about how one man took his place in that jet and died for him. Another man came into his place, into that cockpit, and died for him. But he said, there's another one that died for me so that I could live for him. And that man is Jesus. And so we never know the future. There's another video that's going all over the world. Ben Breedlove, an 18-year-old who died on Christmas Day. Maybe you saw it on ABC News. It's all over the place. Ben had a heart condition that was very dangerous, and he's lived with the prospect of death almost all his life, not knowing if he would survive that day. Can you imagine that teenager? Nice-looking guy, and he had a great voice, very articulate. Anyway, he talks about two or three different times where he died and came back, and he gives the experience of what he saw, this bright light, and this feeling of complete peace and love and joy that overwhelmed him to the point where he didn't want to wake up and come back here. And he had this big smile on the internet, on YouTube, when he talked about it. And that it was amazing. And he ended this by asking with flashcards, I believe in God and angels, do you? And he died last Sunday, a week ago, and had the funeral at his church in Gateway Church in Austin, Texas. And you think, well, how sad that such a short life. That video has reached over 1.2 million people. I could preach a lot of sermons. I don't think I'm, well, maybe I will, but I don't imagine preaching to 1.2 million people over my life. He did it in a week, 18-year-old. And we never know. We don't know that we have a guarantee for our future, but we do. It's just not here necessarily. Where's our real home? Where he's at. And where is he? In heaven. Right? Wow. I remember a name tag I had at a church conference before I came here. And my name, and you had to put a church home. I put in mine, no church home. I still have that name tag at this conference. It was an Alpha conference, Yorba Linda. And that reminds me, now I do have a home. Here, but also up there. So whatever happens in 2012, we have a future. And eventually we'll all, as we believe in Christ, we'll be in a place where there'll be no more pain and no more sorrow, and live forever in God's presence and His glory. So whether it be up there or down here, the great I Am is with us into this new year. Amen is right. What else can we say except Amen?